I'm John Kroll. Thanksgiving is around the corner and in the air, so today on No Limits, we're going to talk about ways to make your feast and your gathering special. This is a show about food, so please get ready to have your mouth water. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger of WFYI's own Eat Drink Indiana Radio and Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro. Please join the conversation. You can call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about holiday food, ways to make your Thanksgiving, it would be nice if I could talk, not being able to talk, is in fact an obstacle in radio. Thanksgiving gathering special and memorable for all who are part of them. If you have a question about food and other Thanksgiving preparation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are one veteran, Jolene Ketzenberger, who is the host of our WFYI's own Eat Drink Indiana Radio, and a newcomer, a rookie, Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro, who also won Beat Bobby Flay. Congratulations on
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to both of you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you both here. So let's talk about, what are sort of the basics of how you can make a Thanksgiving meal special? What are sort of the prerequisites for doing this? I'm going to start with you, Steve, since you're the newbie here.
Well, Thanksgiving to me, it's my favorite time of the year, the favorite meal as we gather, get into the holidays. The biggest thing that I see, and people ask me questions about all the time, same exact question you ask, and I tell them, preparation to get things done ahead of time. Don't wait till 3 in the afternoon when the guests are arriving at 3:30, so don't be pulling the turkey out of its bag and doing its thing. So, just preparation and really, just trying to spend that time with family and, getting all your, what we call in the kitchen, your mise en place in order ahead of time and doing all your prep work. People tend to wait till the last minute. The turkey's the biggest nervous thing they have on their list. So, it's going to be dry no matter what you do. So get it in the oven and, enjoy your guests,
Well, that's true. Don't stress out too much,
Yeah, that's one of the keys is just preparation and being, knowing what you're going to do and what time it's all going to go down.
So real quickly, if someone is, because there are going to be neophytes out there, and part of what I get paid for is asking the questions that people otherwise might feel embarrassed or too foolish to ask themselves. So, how much time should you allow, if you're doing this right, to prepare a turkey?
Well, a turkey, it's usually between the 12 and 15 minute mark per pound. The biggest thing with that is there's always a carryover time in cooking a large bird like that. So, I always shoot for the 13 minutes per pound, let it rest and carry over. It'd be perfect, closer to that 170. That is the magic number, I think, which is a little high, but, that's kind of where I go. I do, usually an unstuffed turkey, so it doesn't take as much time, spend more time on other things, and instead of opening the oven door and basting the turkey every 2 minutes.
Checking it, yeah. Yeah, it's almost like dealing with an infant at that point. That you got to keep, other than presumably you wouldn't put your infant in the oven. But So, Jolene, same question, initial question here. What are some, do you think, are the prerequisites for making that Thanksgiving meal memorable?
Well, I think one thing you don't want to do at Thanksgiving is experiment. You know, trying new dishes, you know, it's great fun, and I love that. But Thanksgiving probably isn't the right time for that. You know, people have their dishes that they want, and if they're counting on sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top, give them the sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. If you want to experiment, you know, have another dinner or experiment at another time, because people have a lot of emotional feelings wrapped up in Thanksgiving, and you want to give them that wonderful holiday meal that they're expecting. And you know, if they don't like the Brussels sprouts that you're just in love with, you know, do the Brussels sprouts another time.
How important is the meal to the success of the holiday? I'll stay with you on that one, Jolene.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's of course what we're all expecting. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, you get there, and yeah, if football's, you know, usually on the agenda for Thanksgiving, and you know, maybe outdoor activities if it's nice. But yeah, that meal is the centerpiece. So yeah, whether you have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner with the turkey and dressing and all that, or if you go, you know, if you have like, say a vegetarian holiday, it's still the sitting down with people that you presumably want to be with, mm-hmm. and enjoying a meal, you know, whether it's you know turkey and all the trimmings, or whether it's a delicious spread that just has side dishes, which could be awesome too.
Same question to you, Steve. How important is the meal to the holiday?
Oh, I think it's extremely important. I grew up having a meal pretty much every night. And Sunday dinner or Sunday supper, we call it, was always there. Thanksgiving just felt like another normal day of the week for us, you know, with a large family. So my mom always cooked and had those wonderful side dishes and traditional food. I grew up in a Polish house, so a lot of different items at Thanksgiving, whether it's pierogi or kapusta or, you know, things like that. So it's always a special time. It's always it was another day of the week that we could all sit together and fight over the mashed potatoes, because we always went in order of oldest to youngest. So,
and where were you in the birth order?
I was the third one, so you had to make sure, you know. You know, the oldest brother didn't take all the mash before you got it. So, but actually, Dad started first.
Oh,
so,
well, yeah.
Okay. So I was fourth. But you know, being a chef, I haven't starved too much over the years. So, but yeah, it's just an important day. It's a great day to really sit down and just relax and catch up. You know, I mean, we're in such a busy time of this world, and being in the restaurant business myself. You know, you need those extra days to just decompress and get back to some normalcy.
It is. It's nice to hang out and relax a little bit.
And see, so I'm going to ask this, and I should say to our listeners, we're talking about holiday food, primarily Thanksgiving meal, today on No Limits with my guest Jolene Ketzenberger and Chef Steve Oakley. If you want to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So I'm going to ask each of you, what was the most memorable Thanksgiving meal that either of you had, and what made it memorable?
Hmm.
Oh, and you're both sort of doing the classic. I recognize this behavior from the classroom. You avoid eye contact. You look down. You look up. You look everywhere but at me when I ask the question.
I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this Thanksgiving. But I suppose it was when I started hosting Thanksgivings. You know, when you go from only having had Thanksgiving at your folks' house to actually having Thanksgiving at your own house, mm-hmm. you know, and you made the turkey, and, you know, you've set the table and the sides and everything. So that's kind of a fun thing when you can, you know, when you can do it maybe the way you've always had it in your head that you might like it.
Mm-hmm. Steve, how about
I think
you?
For myself, one of the most memorable was coming back from culinary school mm-hmm. at Thanksgiving mm-hmm. time, and I sent my mom a list of about 100 items. I need this and that. She's like, "What's that for? I cook Thanksgiving every year." And I said, "Well, I said, you can see where your money's gone here. Yeah. And
was it difficult to displace her in the kitchen? Or
it wasn't. You know, I grew up in the kitchen with her, so she kind of was the sous chef that day. And, you know, I got home late from school traveling in, and just we cooked way into the night. So that was one of the most memorable leading up to the next day.
Oh,
so
that's fun.
Spending time with her in the kitchen. And, you know, I got to do the turkey roulade and all the crazy stuff you learn at school. And, you know, Dad still wanted the traditional stuff, so we did that. So it's kind of a dual Thanksgiving, but that's probably one of my most memorable at this point.
Because that raises another question. You think about, clearly the memory you went to, Steve, was not so much the holiday itself, but the prep was special because you get to spend that time with your mother. Are there ways, because I hear a lot of people, and in most cases, it is the women in the relationship who say they almost dread the coming of the holiday because there's so much work involved in getting the meal ready, particularly if it's going to be a large gathering. And, you know, after the 20th or 25th time you've done that, you begin to think, okay, some of the excitement's gone out of it. This is just a lot of work.
Well, it is a lot of work,
are there,
actually.
Yeah, and that's it. Are there ways to make that ongoing part? Because the prep, I mean, you know, if we're using the rule of thumb of 13 minutes per pound and you've got a 20-pound bird, that's 4.5 hours right there. So.
Well, I know that was a question that I brought up at the restaurant years ago, you know, and me having to prepare for Thanksgiving as well as the restaurant the day before. Why don't we come up with some sides and things? So we have a whole list of things that we provide people to help the rest of their meal come together. Just worry about your famous green bean casserole and, you know, use our gravy and things like that. And I see a lot of places, you know, around town that offer other little accompaniments to make the day go a lot smoother and you're not in there for 10 hours. Because it's Thanksgiving is a labor of love as far as getting it all together. I mean, it takes some timing.
So it's okay if you purchase part of your Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, that's perfectly fine. Since we were talking about what is the most important thing, and it's the sitting down with family and friends and enjoying a meal together. So, you know, if you like cooking, it's an awesome holiday, and I love it. You know, I love to make the cranberry sauce and the gravy and the mashed potatoes and all that. So I really groove on that. But, you know, if you don't, it's really okay to go to the people who do this for a living, you know, and buy an awesome array of sides.
What is it you say you groove on this, you love? What is it about that gives you such satisfaction?
I don't know. I like to cook. I loved cranberry sauce. You know, I love to make the cranberry sauce because I remember my mom making the cranberry sauce. And she would, you know, call me in and say, oh, listen to the berries pop, you know. And so I get kind of a kick out of that. And you know, I told my kids, come here, listen, you know, here's the berries popping, you know, and the cranberry sauce. And then, you know, you add some interesting stuff to it, you know, some, you know, red wine or orange juice or something, you know, instead of just water and sugar. And, you know, it's creative, you know. I just enjoy it.
Steve, is it almost like a busman's holiday for you, though? I mean, since you pretty much cook constantly.
No, I mean, you know, I love cooking, so that's really you know, cooking at home in a restaurant. It's night and day. So I mean, it's nice to be out of your whites and in your slippers and glass of rosé and, you know, chopping onions. So we don't get to act that way in the restaurant. So it's just a little bit more casual.
So they discourage the slippers at the restaurant. which do you enjoy more, cooking for yourself or cooking in the restaurant?
Depends on the day of the week. I enjoy cooking for friends. I think first and foremost, if I had a restaurant that you didn't have to pay any bills, I would have 10 seats and have 10 friends come in every night.
That's
and
the
do
classic
that,
chef,
you know?
Chef dream, you
yeah.
know?
What would you prepare for them? I'm wandering away from the topic here, but I'm curious.
You know, it'd be whatever I dreamed up that day, you know, and hopefully they believe in what I do and just, you know, It food gathers people and brings a feeling of excitement and, friendship. So, it kind of connects everything that's disconnected throughout our times.
We are talking about holiday food, primarily preparation for the big Thanksgiving meal that's coming up in 2 days. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger. She is the host of WFYI's own Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro. He also just recently won the Beat Bobby Flay. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about holiday food, really Thanksgiving meals, and all the associated fun and memories. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger. She is the host of WFYI's own Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro, who also won the Beat Bobby Flay. We've gotten a question from a listener named Sharon who didn't want to go on the air. If you want to reach out to us and join this conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. Sharon asks, what are the guests' answers to the ubiquitous canned crescent roll? Jolene, I'll go with you first on that.
My kids love the canned crescent rolls, and so we have them at Thanksgiving because they like it. If they liked some sort of special bread that I could make, I would make that for them. But they they love those silly little crescent rolls. So I am happy to roll up those silly little crescent rolls for them.
Let me flip it around. Are there shortcuts that you ought to avoid, tempting as they might be? Are there certain shortcuts that probably ought to resist the temptation to succumb, Steve?
The crescent rolls I save for after dinner because, mm-hmm. you take all the leftover turkey, a little cranberry, a little cheese, and you roll that up inside.
Oh, no.
That's the midnight snack.
That's a good idea.
usually there's a really nice homemade bread on the table. But, the crescent rolls, they serve their purpose for, I think, a little bit after the dinner or even the next day, So it's a great vessel to wrap all your Thanksgiving leftovers in and give it one more shot.
Shortcuts.
To avoid, I guess. Things that you probably shouldn't.
Well, I think you don't want to undercook the turkey because that's the thing that people worry about, right? Mm-hmm. Is you don't want to bring the underdone turkey to the table. So don't cut corners on that. Time it out right.
Don't slip it into the microwave 5 minutes before people arrive.
I think making sure that you've left yourself the appropriate amount of time to actually get the turkey roasted well and then to rest it later because you don't want to swoop it out of the oven and put it on the table and carve it right then. Mm-hmm. So leave yourself some time, to rest the turkey.
Steve?
I would agree. I think the turkey is the biggest, it's the star of the show and, pay as much attention to that as you can. And obviously make sure it's cooked through. But, I think that comes to mind. The biggest worry of people is making sure that the turkey is all the way through. And I think at the appropriate times, it's not a real big issue.
We've got a question, I think, that's on point here. Jean, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have a question for Chef. I hear the 13 minutes a pound. At what temperature do you recommend we roast that turkey? And I'm at the post office, so I'll take my answer off.
Okay, good question, Jean. Actually, you're doing my job for me. I should have asked that one. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, you can put the oven on clean and just go from there. No, I'm just kidding. usually, I like to start the bird. It's a two-part question. I like to start the bird out a little bit higher at 450, 475 to kind of get some of the skin going. for about a half hour, and then I turn it down to about 335, 340, and then just let it go for the appropriate time. So until a little bit higher to start, because you're opening it up and you're closing it right away, but a little bit higher heat to get some color on the burr and get everything moving along.
I think that's probably better than trying to brown up the skin at the end when it's probably already done.
Right.
You know, and people then want to get it all nice and brown, but then you're cooking it.
Then you're cooking more.
That's a technique obviously picked up from experience and training. Mm-hmm. Are there other techniques here? I'm going to anticipate the next line of questions we get here, because I suspect a lot of people do try to brown the bird at the end. And clearly the more effective way to do it is at the beginning.
Right. One of the other techniques I like to do is separate the legs a little bit out so they're not just right next to the breast, so it's more butterflied open a little bit.
Rather than trussed up tight.
Rather than trussed up, because then the inside of the thighs tend to get not as cooked or crispy skin. So that's usually what I do, an unstuffed bird and kind of open it up a little bit. Then you can get the seasoning in there and so forth. And that, I think, versus trussing it, you know, keeping it a little bit more natural.
And I do like the dressing on the side rather than stuffed, because then you have that issue of whether the stuffing inside of it gets to the appropriate temperature as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great to put some things inside the bird, you know, like, you know, cut up onions or apples or oranges or whatever sort of seasoning you want.
But
in
stuff
there.
That you probably could eat without it being cooked in the first place, right?
Right, but yeah. But it's that wet, bready stuffing that's sometimes inside of birds, and you have to make sure that gets to the right temperature as well. So that's why I like to make it on the side.
Probably the other thing I like to do when the bird's finished and before you, you know, you carve it and you lay it out there is to do a fresh squeeze of a lime or lemon or orange juice, some sort of citrus, mm-hmm. to kind of brighten up the flavor. That's kind of a chef trick at the end. They usually grate lemon zest or orange zest over fish, but adding a little citrus over the bird really kind of makes it pop, you know.
We are talking about holiday food, really about preparing your Thanksgiving meal. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Roberta has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, I have a quick question for...
Oops. I think I'm anticipating where she was going because I saw a little note on it. She wanted to know what options you have if you've got a family member who's just gone gluten-free. How do you deal with that? Are there ways that you can help make the meal memorable and still?
Well, sure. You know, the stuffing. You know, the stuffing then would be the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stuffing is the primarily the issue with gluten in a Thanksgiving meal. You know, there's other options of doing. A lot of times I've done barley that's flavored mm-hmm. with all those stuffing vegetables and sage and mm-hmm. and all that kind of good flavors as an option. So the barley really tastes like stuffing, but you're avoiding the gluten.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you could make the attempt, you know, with the gluten-free breads, you know, make the all-out effort, you know, to purchase gluten-free products to be using it, you know, with Thanksgiving. But a lot of the side dishes, I think, would be, you know, fairly easy to make gluten-free.
We are talking about holiday food here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Julian has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Julian, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. This is more about etiquette. My wife has gone total vegan. Now, I pretty much live on a vegetarian diet, but I'm not holy about it. Anyway, she told we can't go out to dinner anymore because there's hardly any place that, you know, she can eat. I said, what's for Thanksgiving dinner? She said, stuffed pumpkin. I don't even like pumpkin. So I was thinking of getting on Facebook to all my acquaintances / friends and asking, pleading for turkey and stuffing. She doesn't have a Facebook account, my wife, so she would.
Okay, so you're asking us to be part of a conspiracy here.
Yes. Okay. Would that be too much of a Larry David?
Okay, well, I'll see if we can get some recommendations for you here, but thanks very much for the call, Julian.
I'll take it off the air.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, I think there are, more and more options available for, you know, vegetarian and gluten and vegan, as well as what we were talking about, gluten-free options for Thanksgiving. Obviously, you can focus on the side dishes, you know, which some people might argue is the best part of Thanksgiving. So I think you could do kind of a wide array of side dishes. I made during the time when one of my kids was vegetarian. I did a really nice mushroom bread pudding that was kind of sort of the centerpiece for the vegetarians at the table. So I think that there are ways you could do that.
Oh, there's a lot of ways. I mean, we're bombarded every day in the restaurant business about gluten and vegan, and it's not a challenge. In my mind, goes to the idea of what vegetable can I take and apply it like I would a steak or a fish if I'm roasting it in the pan or in the oven or grilling it. So it's not really an issue. So if you kind of think along the lines of, you know, what would you do with it with a steak, then, you know, apply a nice cut of butternut squash and marinate it and grill it and still get the same qualities and same richness.
So let me ask this, because it springs. People pay far more attention these days to what they eat and how that. I'm curious because I think about like the Thanksgivings or holiday meals of my childhood, you know, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. and I kid you not, I mean, I would think on some of those occasions, and it's not that my mother's, my aunts weren't good cooks, but they didn't really think in the same terms we do these days. So I'm reasonably certain that some of those meals were probably between 15 and 20,000 calories and that it would have been far more efficient really just to slice open a vein and shove a brick in there, one of your arteries, than to eat that stuff. How have our expectations for Thanksgiving and these other big meals changed now that people are so much more food conscious?
Well, I think that I think the interest in food is great, and as somebody who writes about food and talks about food a lot, I'm very happy that people are more interested in food and perhaps where it comes from and how it was raised and that sort of thing, and so I think that's a great part of this increased awareness, but it does make the people who prepare your food like Chef Oakley here that has to then. Communicate that to the dining public, you know, that where his food is sourced from, how it was raised, how it was prepared, what's in it. So it is a bit more of a communication challenge.
We've gotten, we've heard back from Roberta.
Oh, good.
Whose question was more specific. And she said that a family member has gone gluten-free. Can she substitute gluten-free flour for the pie crust, etc.? Chef Oakley.
Well, I'm not a master pastry chef. This might be a question for Chef Ben at the Gallery Pastry Shop. But
if you're listening, Chef Ben,
yeah,
this might be the moment to call in.
Get him over there. And there are recipes that you can use gluten-free flour. It's a little different texture in the end, but I think you're going to achieve pretty much the same results.
I think so. I think if you, a trusted, reliable source, you know, there are a lot of gluten-free bakers out there, you know, websites, and resources that you can look for, and follow a good recipe. I think it's, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, specific types of flour, it's not the time to improvise. So find a good recipe that you trust and follow that. And I think it could work out. And you can always do, you know, a different sort of pie, you know, maybe mm-hmm. something with more of a streusel-y kind of pie, you know, with oatmeal and brown sugar and that sort of thing.
I've gotten a question from a listener named James via Facebook, and if you want to find us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits WFYI. James writes, one technique I have learned and plan to try is to put the bird into the oven at 450 for 20 to 30 minutes with the breast side up, then take the turkey out of the oven and turn it over so the breast side is down, reduce the oven to 350, and continue to roast it until done. Do the chefs have any comments about this idea? It sounds like it's a variation of what you suggested.
It's a variation. You know, the breast itself always gets dry. I mean, it's juicy when it comes out, and about 30 seconds later after you slice it, you know. I mean, that's why I cook mine, and I cook my whole bird in duck fat, so it's going to stay moist. But
well, there's a tip actually people could use, yeah, right, is cook it in duck fat.
You know, my concern with the turning the bird over, and that's a technique that people have talked about for a long time, is that I think it opens you up to a lot of unfortunate accidents,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's on the right track. Just don't turn it over and, you know, see what result you get this year.
Gotten another call from a listener named Tom who didn't want to go on the air. And he says folks who are very sensitive to gluten can be equally sensitive to barley. True? And if so, what do we do about that, Jolene?
Well, again, I think if I were committed to the stuffing, I would just go with some solid gluten-free bread and go with that. You know, we have a variety of gluten-free options these days, and they're quite good. You know, there's a gluten-free bread vendor at our local farmers markets. So I think I would just stick with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, quinoa is another one that comes to mind that I've made stuffing with in the past, and it works the same texture as bread once it's cooked. So that might be one route to go.
Are there any other problem areas? I mean, we know about gluten and now apparently barley. Are there other areas that, at least if you are preparing the meal, you ought to be sensitive to people's concerns?
I think any of the allergies are a very, very big concern these days. You know, make sure you don't have someone with a shellfish allergy, you know, if you're committed to oyster dressing, for example. You know, a lot of those allergies, you know, they're very pervasive. And, you know, if someone has a nut allergy, it's good to know, you know, the shellfish allergies, milk, dairy, you know, there are a lot of questions to ask, you know, in order to be hospitable, because mm-hmm. it's a holiday all about hospitality and welcoming people to your table. So, you know, ask those questions so that you can make sure.
How would you go about framing asking those questions?
Oh, I think when you
issue the invitation.
Well, you pretty much know who's coming, right? So it's typically family and friends. And so I don't think that there's any problem with saying, you know, does, you know, your niece's boyfriend, you know, have any allergies? That's a problem. Mm. You know, does somebody's in-laws, have they gone vegan? You know, is there anything I should know? You know, I would feel comfortable asking my guests that.
Is it, well, and presumably you have that kind of conversation while you're building the guest list and all of that and calling people, right?
Well, that's the hope, so that someone doesn't surprise you there on Thanksgiving Day and say, oh, you know, she's vegetarian now. Is that a problem? And it's like, hopefully it's not a problem, because hopefully there'll be lots of good things to eat.
And on the flip side, you probably, if you're accepting an invitation, have an obligation to tell people that.
Yeah, I think so.
We are talking about holiday food, Thanksgiving meals, all the challenges, all the fun, and memories associated with one of the biggest holidays of the year. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger. She is host of WFYI's own Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro, who also won Beat Bobby Flay. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. You also can reach us by email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about holiday food and all of the associated fun, memories, but also the challenges, shortcuts, ways that you can work to maximize the fun and minimize the stress associated with the holiday. My guests are Jolene Ketzenberger. She is the host of WFYI's own Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and Chef Steve Oakley of Oakley's Bistro, who also won Beat Bobby Flay. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Steve has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a quick question about sage dressing. I have heard that if you toast the bread before you bake the dressing, that it's somehow a better texture and maybe tastier. Have your guests heard of this? And my second question is, what about cooking a 12-pound turkey at a very high temperature for the entire baking period?
Thanks very much for the call, Steve. I'll see if we can get some answers for you.
You know, the stuffing part, I like to do the soak method where you soak the eggs and other ingredients in the bread, and then when you're about finished with the stuffing, to add more croutons to the top, so when you pull it out you have a different level of texture. So you can either soak the bread or not soak it, but I think you kind of, with that, you end up with the same result of kind of a soft pudding like. But by adding the croutons right before you come out of the oven or when they come out of the oven, you add a fresh layer of crunch, and you know, it's really not expected at that point because everyone thinks it's been in the oven for so long. So you can add texture after the product is coming out of the oven. Cooking the 12-pound turkey at the high temperature, it's a little risky.
What will it do?
You probably just overcook it a lot faster, yeah.
So it'll be it'll be even drier.
Even drier. You know, I would stick to the traditional, you know, half hour, 20 minutes of high heat, and then turn it down and then go from there. So, you know, although deep frying is a different method in itself where it's a high heat, shorter period of time, but you're introducing a different cooking method.
So I'll ask a question for, I'm part of a decided minority in this country. I really don't like turkey.
To me, it's
like saying, okay, why don't we pull out a cardboard box and eat it?
Maybe you haven't had a good turkey.
Yeah, I've tried an awful lot of times, Jolene, over the years.
Okay, so
and
this
it's
year
not been a memorable experience.
We're brining our turkey, and I think actually brining really does help, you know, and letting it soak in that brine before you roast it. But you know, my family, honestly, I think my extended family really prefers ham. So there's going to be a turkey and a ham on the Thanksgiving table. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. So that's where I was going, is are there acceptable substitutes here? That
I always reach for the duck, you know, the Maple Leaf Farms duck. I roast the whole bird, and, you know, people, they gravitate to it. They get their little bite of turkey and then they move over to the roast duck.
Yeah, and the duck is not going to be dry.
No.
So we've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air, from a listener named Jean. It says she's dry brining her turkey. Then what? To rinse or not to rinse? She says Google isn't helping. So
definitely rinse it after you brine it. Yeah. So, you know, the whole idea of brining is to impart some salinity to the bird and to, you know, it soaks up some of that moisture. So hence, less drier bird. That seems to be all the craze in the last several years is brining your bird, but it's really a true method of keeping it a little bit more on the less cardboard side.
we are talking about Thanksgiving preparation, how to make the meal memorable. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Hank has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Hank, welcome to the program.
Yes, I was wondering if deep frying the turkey has fallen out of favor. Seems like that produces a very juicy bird, the breast anyway, which is about all that's left. And I was going to add a little rabbit and venison to my Thanksgiving meal this year.
Where do you live?
Steve's on his way over, Hank. So, thanks very much for the call and for the question. Thanks. So, deep frying.
Deep frying it's awesome. I've done it several times. It's a dangerous process, though. It can be a little intimidating. I would definitely do it with someone that has deep fried it before, because my first time I spilled over the oil in the driveway and it wasn't pretty. So.
That's the problem, with the deep frying there. Mm-hmm. It's like when I said, I don't really want
to. You could conceivably burn the house down.
Yeah. Well, right? And honestly, there are lots of examples of garages catching on fire when people are outside trying to deep fry a turkey for the first time.
Yeah, if it's cold and windy out, I would not recommend it. But it's a great method, it's just tried and true.
Really know what you're doing, if that's the case. Have almost professional chef-level skills, right?
But now, we've also done a turkey on the grill, which is another, people like to do the outside things as sort of interesting things. And so doing a turkey on the grill is a nice option as well. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about preparing the Thanksgiving meal. Joe, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm wondering, what would you recommend for an activity after the meal has been had, after the dessert has been served, and people are moving away from the table, rather than just sitting down in the big lazy boy chair and flipping on the TV, rather than just taking a nap.
So you're trying to avoid the, semi-coma in front of the football games that almost inevitably follows the heavy meal. All right.
Well,
thanks very much, Joe.
I was talking with another chef here in Indianapolis last week, Chef Becky Hostetter of Duos, and she said she is really, really, really trying to work in a nice walk after the meal, get her kids outside and at least get out and get moving a little bit. So I think that sounds like a nice thing, to maybe get a mug of hot coffee or maybe some spiked cider and take a walk outside and just kind of get moving a little bit.
Yeah, well, and that's, I make the joke, but most of the research indicates if you eat that much, you'll digest it better if there's slow walk somewhere afterwards.
Put the slippers
down
on and go.
Slow walk is not the best thing in the world for you.
There's always, the
collapsing into a coma.
Throwing the football around in the front yard, too.
Yeah, which seems to work better when there are young children involved. It's a little bit harder to motivate people in their middle years to go out and just throw a football for some reason. So, Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is a recipe that's been passed down through the family that works every time, and it scares the hell out of everybody that does it.
Okay.
So what it is this. You take a turkey, you prepare it. You put it in a pan with 6 cups of water, and then you put it in the oven, in a cold oven. You turn the oven to 400. You let it bake for 1 hour. You turn the oven off. Now, you started this at 10 o'clock at night. You turn the oven off, and the next morning when you get up, the oven, the turkey is perfect. It's the juiciest turkey you've ever had in your life.
Well,
thanks very much for the call, Steve.
That's great if it works out for you. I wouldn't be able to recommend that just because of the importance of maintaining food at the appropriate temperature. Health issues are a very important thing, and you don't want to risk that. So I couldn't go along with it, but what do you think, Chef?
Well, I was always taught either hot or cold, so it's either cold in the fridge or hot in the oven. So, it's got to be over that 140 mark, a little bit more than that, even with turkey and poultry. So I would just be careful as to the downtime of not having any heat on it. Be a little nerve-wracking for me, but if it works for them, it's great.
And no one's gotten sick yet, then maybe they are all right. Okay, we have a question from Donna. Donna, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I really appreciate all your suggestions. One thing, I'm 66 years old, and I have never brined anything. Could you give me step by step?
Thanks very much for the call and the question. We will try to get you some help here from an expert.
We brine a lot of things outside of meat. We brine vegetables. There's a fast food company that for years brined their French fries before it became too complicated for them. But you can find basic brine ratios of salt to water. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cup to maybe a gallon of water. Half a cup of sugar. There's different ones, but what I like to do instead of using water is to impart, just use, substitute the water for apple cider. Mm-hmm. So it applies another flavor to whatever you're doing in your turkey. So sometimes we even use beer as a brine and add the salt to it. So, just getting as much flavor in there as you can. But brining is really simple. No more than 24 hours on smaller pieces, steaks or chicken, things like that. It's a shorter period of time of, 4 to 8 hours. But a turkey, you can go overnight. Make sure you rinse it, though.
She says step by step. I mean, how do you go?
You can buy prepared mixes, brine mixes. It has the salt and the sugar and some of the seasonings all together. I happened to see one at Kroger the other day. Goose the Market sells a brine mixture. So you find a good recipe for that if you want to put it together yourself. And then there you go.
Yeah, from there you submerge you got to make sure the product is completely covered with your brine and in the refrigerator overnight, and take it out the next morning and rinse it and dry it.
So if you've got a 20-pound bird, you got to have a pretty good spot.
Big bucket.
You can put it in a food safe plastic bag, fill that up with your brine, and then pack it tightly into a cooler with ice on it, because you have to keep it cold, of course.
Yeah.
So you can keep, you can put the big turkey in the bag in the cooler with ice overnight. There you go.
Okay. We've gotten an email from a listener named Rita. And again, if you want to join this conversation by email, you can send your email to nolimits@wfyi.org. She writes, 1 year my Thanksgiving dinner was the first of two or three for the family. Since I knew there would be turkey at the other places, I made lasagna. It was great. That raises another question. Actually, some friends and I, when we were gathered last night, talked about that dynamic, particularly as your kids grow older and they have either boyfriends or girlfriends or spouses and other obligations, and they're going to be doing two or three Thanksgiving dinners. Are there ways, even though we said at the top of the hour that probably you don't want to experiment, are there ways you can differentiate it so that they don't feel like they're just watching the same movie over and over and over again?
Well, I've done two Thanksgivings before. We've gone to visit relatives in the past, and then we've come back and made the dishes that weren't going to be a hit somewhere else. So we came back and we grilled a turkey, and we made the Brussels sprouts that we wanted that wasn't going to go over well somewhere else. So you could certainly change up all sorts of dishes, and of course you don't have to have turkey. You can have the ham we talked about. We can have the duck.
You can have pizza.
The lasagna. There is nothing wrong with any kind of big festive centerpiece kind of meal.
Yeah, that was our thing. Always growing up, we had a great pizzeria when I grew up in northern Indiana, and so we'd have this big Thanksgiving dinner, and then Mom always had pizza, afterwards.
Afterwards.
That was it. So it's kind of an Italian, Polish dinner there,
You mean that evening?
Later on.
You always get the pizza delivered.
Everybody's digging in the fridge afterwards, so she always had pizza ready to go, so...
Okay, so let's walk through, because we're starting to get toward the end of the program here. If you want to make your Thanksgiving a success, what are just a few basic do's and don'ts? We'll start with the don'ts first. What are the things you should not do? Jolene, I'll start with you.
Well, I think you shouldn't try to do it all at the last minute. So I'm a big fan of doing things ahead of time. So my cranberry sauce is already in the refrigerator. You can make the mashed potatoes ahead. You can make a variety of things ahead. Tomorrow morning, I'm probably going to be baking pies. So I would say, don't try to do it all on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's don't experiment on Thanksgiving. Try to keep with what you know, and like Jolene said, you just preparation, will help you tremendously on that day.
Okay, so what are the do's? I'll stay with you, Steve.
The do's are, I guess you got to have, what am I thinking?
Well, I think one of my do's is to try to enjoy the day.
Yeah.
I'm all for, pouring a nice glass of whatever wine you've gotten for Thanksgiving. And we didn't even talk about the wine, which oftentimes a troubling question on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I would pour a nice glass of sparkling wine or a rosé and try to enjoy what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. Just really embrace your guest and, use that day as a gathering of, some memories.
And here's another, don't take it too seriously. If the rolls are burnt, okay, the rolls got burnt. Don't let your Thanksgiving enjoyment hinge on one thing, mm-hmm. So if something doesn't work out, it's just the rolls, it's just the stuffing or whatever it is. Don't worry, don't worry so much. Enjoy it. It's important, but it is just food, and we're just trying to get a nice meal on the table.
So how many do you have coming to your house on Thanksgiving Day?
Actually, we are going to my in-laws on Thanksgiving, and I think we're up to about, there's five of us and boyfriends and girlfriends and things like that. I think we might be getting close to 20, I'm thinking. 18, maybe 18 people, I'm thinking.
Okay, and Steve, how about you?
I have this year off, which is pretty amazing, going up to see my mom with the family, and I'm letting some other chef cook for me this year. So
that's a nice thing.
It's going to be a nice break.
Now, do you critique? Is it hard to set aside?
I do not critique on any time somebody else is cooking for me. We had Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving at the restaurant on Saturday, so we did all the fixings, so I'm good on the turkey.
Well, that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guest, Jolene Ketzenberger, and Chef Steve Oakley for what has been a lively conversation.
Thank you. It was very fun.
And I'd like to thank all of our listeners for some great questions. And most of all, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We're going to be off, but we will be back next Tuesday. I am John Krall. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's Public Broadcasting Stations.